Mika, you're at a wedding this weekend. We all know funeral directors are the most fun people to be at weddings with because they are dancing and they're dropping stories. Give me your favorite part of the wedding you were at this weekend. We're starting off on the opposite side of death with the wedding.
With the wedding. It's so funny you say that because the whole weekend I'm like, wow, I'm like really a funeral girl and not a wedding person. Everyone is too happy here. Not for me. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because the person who is getting married is also a funeral director.
Okay.
Like everyone was already warm to the idea of being around somebody who deals with death all day long for their work. So really nobody asked me questions. We did get ready at the funeral home that my friend works at.
Classic move.
Fun, right? And I had to help her wheel a casket back into the room that we were getting dressed in.
And, mimosa in hand, I hope.
Yeah. You look way too comfortable doing that. What's wrong with you? I'm like, oh, I'm also a funeral director. And she's like, oh, cool. That's so weird. You're both funeral directors. I'm like, yeah, super fun. It was a good time.
That does sound fun. My brother, he got married last year and he got ready at the funeral home too. So we had my sister-in-law and all of her bridesmaids were in one part of the funeral home in one chapel, and then all the guys around another part. And we like separated them with like the viewing line, you know, they closed it so no one could see. And it's funny that us funeral directors, we always bring it back to our home base.
Yep. It's always like, I don't know. I feel like anytime I tell anybody what I do for work, it's always like the backdrop of every conversation that I have with somebody who hasn't met me before. People always ask me about what kind of education we have to have. I find that's honestly what probably people ask me most is like, what do you have to do to become a funeral director?
Yeah. That's always one of them. And why is always, if they don't know who you are. It's funny. My friends, I've known them for so long. We never really talk about it ever now. Hmm. But if it's ever someone that gets thrown in to the mix that we don't know, or if you meet someone when you're out and about or at a wedding or whatever else, that's the whole conversation.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter with how many other people you're with. It is a gravitational because people are always very intrigued with what us funeral directors do.
Yep. It's funny because the person who I walked down the aisle with is like the same age as me, and he's an orthodontist, which I was like, ooh, that's cool. Somebody who's like doing orthodontics for work, especially like someone who's like, I don't know, young or whatever. And he was like, yeah, it's like forever for school. But I think it's kind of similar to us that I think the goal seems to be like opening your own practice or your own place.
Yep.
I don't know. So he said that that's like kind of been the interesting part is like when you start, you want to get somewhere where maybe you can like eventually own. It doesn't seem like really corporatized yet. I don't know if that makes any sense. But
no, it does. It's very similar to what we do. Smaller firms that aren't corporate owned necessarily. And right. You have to get your foot in the door somewhere to take it over is usually the best way because then they have a reputation that's built up for a long time. And it's
right.
It's easier than starting off on your own, hoping someone's going to come in and swoop, you know. But yeah, I think there's a lot of similar. Where'd you go to school then for mortuary school?
I went to CCMS, the Cincinnati College of Mortuary Sciences, if you have
before. The famous, the infamous.
The Harvard Mortuary Sciences, I loved going to school there. It was probably one of the best chunks of time so far that I've had in life. With so many of my teachers there who have become like mentors to me and still are. I'm really lucky that I got to be a student the same year that Jack Lechner pretty much started his career at CCMS. He had just left Oregon. Yeah, he's amazing. Shout out to Jack. He's the best. So I don't know. It was just still, it's probably one of the best times that I've had was being a student there. I just love it so much. And honestly, I miss school like all the time.
Yeah. Give us one story from your college experience then that's going to relate to us funeral directors. Something fun.
Something fun. Okay.
Yeah. Or not.
Or not. I don't know. It was weird that I never really looked into what it was like to work at a funeral home before I started
No kidding.
funeral work. I started school and I was a psychology major, and I was just really excited to be at college. I didn't think I was going to be able to go. I had to save money. It was like something I did for myself by myself
Yeah.
with some a little help from my mom and dad, but it was mainly like something that I chose to do a little bit later. And I don't know, when I started school for mortuary sciences, it felt really like a far off place that I would just arrive at one day. And
Yeah.
I remember getting my textbooks for CCMS and being like, oh, we have to get an embalming textbook. Like, I didn't really realize that that's such a like large part of the practice of what we do
Wow.
work. Yeah. So I started school and I had never worked at a funeral home before. Had never really engaged with any local funeral directors other than the ones that I had been most familiar with at the funeral home I work at now. And yeah, I started school and I like didn't know anything about the culture of the industry or really anyone in it. And I don't know, I just made a lot of friends who were similar to me, but also a lot of people who came from like family-owned small businesses. And I don't really know that that's like a story for mortuary college. It's funny, but I don't know. I started, and maybe that's something that is more usual than not nowadays, is just wanting to go because you know you can, and because it's like an option for all people now, I guess. I had the
Right.
perception for a really long time that, because I mean, like, who really thinks about the funeral home unless you like.
Need it. Yep.
Nobody really wants to think about it, and it's not really like something, I don't know, that one entertains. And I don't know, I meet a lot of people now. I'm able to like take students from the school and lead tours, and it's been really nice to like meet people who are younger than me or my age or older than me, who all kind of express a similar sentiment, like, yeah, we didn't really think we were like allowed to be funeral directors, and I don't know. I feel like that's been such a nice thing, especially from school, is just knowing that there are people who didn't feel like they could and they are now. I don't know. Sorry, that's
Yeah.
not.
No, a shared experience and the connection that you have with people and the connection that we have with the industry, because it is very special what we do every day, and
Yeah.
we can only talk about it with each other. That's why part of the biggest reason I started this podcast was so that we could talk amongst each other
Cool.
and engage with stories and have some fun. What made you take the plunge then in the first place? You didn't know squat. So what were you doing going into mortuary school?
I really like I met my psychology professor and was just so enamored with her. She was like the coolest lady ever. And I was still smoking cigarettes at that point, and so was she. I think she still probably is. And her and I would smoke cigarettes together before class, as tacky as that kind of sounds. And she and I would talk about like just stuff. And I was telling her about how much I love hair and how much I love makeup and cosmetics.
Yeah.
Thinking about going to school to become a cosmetologist, but I decided to try college instead. And that I was a psychology major because I really wanted to help people. I wasn't really sure, what I wanted to do with that, but I knew that I wanted to be helpful to people in hard times. And her and I would just talk about stuff like that. And she all of a sudden one day was like, "Did you know that you could become a funeral director here at the school?" And I was like, "No." She was like, "Yeah, did you know that there's like a way for you to become a funeral director?" And I was like, "No, I never thought about that. I thought you had to be someone's son to do that job." And she was like, "No, you can do that job." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And she was like, "Yeah." So I looked into the coursework, and I like really can't describe how I felt like looking at the fact that you have to study like a little bit of everything. I thought
Yeah.
that's amazing. That you study like law and accounting and sociology and psychology and anatomy and physiology and chemistry and all these blends of like everything. It just really sounded fascinating to me. And that's really what guided me into pursuing this for my career was the fact that like our coursework was so varied and it required so much of you to be this person. And I don't know, it maybe sounds weird, but I just had a hunch that if I could do this, I should, that this was like my thing. And I'm happy that I did because I love my job so much, and find so much value in what I'm able to do every day. And I feel lucky. Yeah, it's awesome.
It does take a well-rounded person and a well-rounded knowledge as well. We're doing so many different jobs typically that you have to be able to have some abilities in so many different facets of life, which makes it interesting and makes every day a unique experience. And I think that's one of the bigger draws that you see from funeral directors is like, hey, I have a bunch of different skills. I don't really know how to combine them all, but it seems like this is a way to combine a whole ton of stuff into one. And it's you have your science base and you have your psychology and that connection with other people and the living people. You have like a designer, a planner side of things, and you have the business side of things. There's something for everyone. There's the art side of things, and
Yeah.
it makes it fun. It makes it interesting.
Yep. I feel really lucky that I get to do this job. Like, I really didn't think it was something that was available to people outside of the industry. And that was ultimately why I was like, oh, well, if I can do this, this is the thing I want to do. When I was little, I wanted to be like a mermaid and a surgeon and a ballerina.
Of
And
course.
I feel like those are really odd things. And I feel like, in a way, like you said, my job is like a multi-hyphenate position that just like nobody understands that I have all that I'm doing all the time. I love, like you said, the artistic perspective of my job. I also love, like you said, like designing. I kind of like to think about that, like creating services,
Creativity.
yeah, that are like reflective of people and the lives that they lived. I don't know. I think it's the role that we occupy is also really changing. Especially if you work kind of like we said, like the front, up front. I feel like up front is going through a shift.
Tell me about that. What do you think? What do you think?
Well, I feel really fortunate to be part of the death care funeral service industry at this point in history because I think it's going through a really tremendous transformative period of change. I feel like that's something that is not exclusive to our industry. I feel like most industries are going through an upheaval period where things are changing on a really deep level. So I think that the death ritual reflects the society that we live in. And I feel like society has been shifting slowly for probably like the last 40 years or so. I think in the last 4 years, we have seen a rapid acceleration of changes that have been in the works now for like decades. I definitely see a shift even in just the literature that I read for mortuary specific stuff. You know, like the publications are all kind of like shifting their gears to discuss topics that weren't really like huge even like 10 years ago. Kind of like this of becoming more of like an event center or doing something that seems less traditional, like funeral home-y, you know? Having like an open bar is like part of the experience. Kind of like how we talked about like weddings, they're like funerals, but not. I feel
Yes.
people want their funerals to feel like weddings now. And I also feel like things are, I don't know if it's like a permanent change, but I definitely think that the rise in changing of method of disposition has kind of just made the services themselves look different, you know? I have no beef with any changes at all, and I welcome change, but I imagine if, you know, you're somebody who's been doing this for like 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it's probably a very hard, like, change stomach, you know? But yeah, I don't know. I feel like things are really shifting, and I'm excited to be part of that.
It sure is, and you have to be able to adapt, which seems like you are. And I do understand the point of view of someone that's been doing it for so long, because there were so few changes for so long. Like I grew up, my dad's a funeral director, so I grew up in the funeral home, all of that good stuff. And there were very few changes from the time I was a kid to the time I became a funeral director. Honestly, there was not too much of differences in the types of service we were doing. The biggest changes you were seeing were, instead of 2-night visitations or wakes, it was like 1 night, or
Right.
you would have an all-in-one day service, or you would have the rental casket, and the cremation effort was a big, like the biggest change that happened. And like having a, you know, having to display your prices, things like that. Those were the big changes that you were seeing
Yep.
over the course of 30 years or so. But now over the course of the last 5 years, you're seeing a rapid
Right.
change in the way people are doing things,
Yep.
how they're engaging in funeral service, and how the family wants to celebrate their loved one. And it's a beautiful thing that they're able to do it as they want it now. Less cookie cutter, more let's have a service that's based on who that person was and what the family truly desires. And I think that's what's giving us a resurgence in value. Because there was a long time where funeral directors were not seen as very valuable, more just there to get the job done. Now we're doing some amazing things and putting on some services that you would never have even dreamt of or thought of 15, 20 years ago. So now I think that's the way we can demonstrate what our value is to families, on top of all the things that we do behind the scenes, is what we can do for them on the service level and offer them different options too.
I think also, kind of talking about people being reminded of our value.
Right.
I think that, the last 4 years for the world and our country have been really difficult, and I definitely know. I started my apprenticeship in 2020. That was the year that,
Crazy year.
and I think that not being able to have funerals for, any period of time. I know everyone went through this different experience when it came to like how long it was that we took breaks holding full services. But I know that, I would see a family when we could only have 10 people attend,
Sure.
have the same family a year later, have another loss, and just have them say, wow, it really is it this This thing that we're doing is so important, and it's wonderful to be able to have the community again. I think, again, like we're going through a really transitionary phase where things are changing, but also, like you said, people are seeing maybe something from us that they haven't been able to connect to before. I also think, for what it's worth, and I really don't participate in social media very much at all. But I do think that social media has kind of given us this bridge to the people, we can reach them, and we're not like these like creepy weirdo people who like skulk in the shadows or something like that. Also,
Us dressed in our cloaks going to bed at 5 in the morning.
no, just kidding. Yeah, I think really that people like see us as people and not like, I don't know, somebody who's like behind a pane of glass. I feel like for a long time, even like probably talking about this work was very like taboo.
Yes.
And I'm happy that that's changing, and I'm happy to be part of that change. It's nice.
It's shifted a ton, and people are learning more and more about what we do. And that's a good thing, because we can access those people that we were never able to before, and we weren't really permitted to or allowed to. And I think it's such a good thing. I have a difficult time with that. I have an older generation that I still associate with. And I'm not talking about my dad. I'm talking about the rest of it's a family firm, so it's always, you know, it's spread out and it's all over the place. But my dad is very accepting and forthright and forward thinking with this kind of stuff, and he understands, at least to an extent. I don't think he's ever been on a single form of social media in his life besides like videos and podcasts we show him. But he still gets the fact that people need to understand what we're doing in order for them to see more value.
Sure.
And then at the same time, I'll butt heads with other members of the family, and we had a pretty vicious go at it recently, to be honest with you.
Oh.
And it's uncomfortable for me because I know that people need this stuff, not only funeral directors, but the general public, because otherwise we're going to go by the wayside
Yeah.
if we're not doing this stuff, because people won't know or won't see any value to what we do. Because every other industry, as far as I'm concerned, is very transparent with the way things go. But because we are dealing with such a sensitive thing, we try to protect the families, which is a good thing.
Right.
But that sense of protection has shifted to people not having trust. And so now we're going through the process of rebranding ourselves as funeral directors, as these are the people that you can trust with your loved one, your
Sure.
life, your family, their service, their last legacy. That's the brand that I want us to reestablish, and I'm very passionate about that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that that's really important. I think, kind of like I said, I really knew nothing when I came into our industry. I knew nothing at all. And I really credit school with giving me this fundamental core, having this value system of, what you do is really important, and what you do is really like upholding the legacy of human tradition in some way.
Yes.
And what you do is, you're doing something where you're connecting with what we've always done for each other. And that's like the most, I mean, to me, the most important thing we can do for one another in this life is to bury each other respectfully, and to know that. To feel that and to know that, I don't know, I think that's the identity of funeral director nowadays, Maybe it's always been and it just wasn't communicated in that fashion, but I think now, like, that's the mantra of most people who are older than me, who are the same age as me, younger than me. I don't really interact with people around me who do our job who don't feel that way, which I think is awesome. And I honestly, kind of talking about the wedding again, people don't, I think, understand what we do every day. And I was talking about school, because, when I was talking about my friend, I was saying how part of how we built our friendship as funeral directors is we both went to CCMS. And I was talking to her, her friend, and she's like, "Well, why do you guys have so much education? Isn't it like a trade what you do? It's a trade, right?" I was like, well, maybe historically it was seen as that, as a trade. But what we do is so, like you said, well-rounded. There's, we have to do so much now in our jobs that really, like, if you don't have the education for it, I don't know how you would do this successfully, Even with, like, if you come from like a family-owned firm with like many people to look to, for example, of how to be a good director. I don't know. I feel like I'm happy, at least in Ohio. You have to have a bachelor's degree here. I think that's really wonderful. I don't know. I think it's my people don't understand what we do, and I'm happy to be able to be in a space where, like you said, we can talk about what happens day to day, so that other people maybe don't feel alone, and other people will listen and be like, "Oh, that's what funeral directors are all about." I don't know. Yeah.
Normalizes it for ourselves and for the general public. I do really, I really like that. I think that thought process is very sound. And to expand on what you were saying, I did come from a family firm, but I learned so much of what I know now from the people I went to school with or during my apprenticeship. I learned a lot from going to the labs and practicum and things like that. You pick and choose little pieces of everyone that you work with or you study under, and then you make yourself your own form of funeral director, whatever that version might be for you. And I think that's the best way. It didn't matter that for me personally, coming from a family firm, of course I had a better shot at a job because my dad's going to employ me. But
I
other
would
yeah other than
hope.
that, I had to learn just as much from other people, because I didn't want to only have it the way that we've done it for 100 years. I wanted to expand on, okay, this is a beautiful thing, a great tradition that my family has. It's been around for a long time, but there's so much more that goes into it. Let's gather some information and learn from other people to make myself the best version of a funeral director I can be, and then I can share that with other people too. It's a wonderful thing that we have, and the camaraderie in our industry is unlike many other, I would say.
I think that maybe that was born out of some like protective measure because we're also misunderstood that we
Yes.
want to just like support and help each other and
Right.
I don't know. I think that that's like honestly, my friends from Mortuary College are probably, even though we don't get to talk very often because we're all really busy, whatever, I feel like they're some of like the dearest people in my life because we all kind of just like get each other.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that's nice. I can tell by the way you were talking about CCMS that maybe you did not go to CCMS. Where did you go to Mortuary College, Pim?
I went to Worsham.
Oh, okay. Can you remind me where
It's
that?
in like northern Illinois, like a north suburb of Chicago. So that's the Midwest rival
Oh.
of to Cincinnati.
Well, now I know. Thanks.
So we should think. But yeah, no, there was I had a good experience there, and I was lucky to do that and have some learning as I went along. I'd love to know. Give me some stories. You've been doing this for several years now. I want to know some of the. We have a ton of funeral directors that love to listen. Give us one of those funeral director stories. Maybe a tough situation that you're in with the family or in the prep and removal. Like you can let your hair down and let's hear a story.
Well, I've had a really interesting 6 months at the funeral home. So I'm
Okay.
gonna start my story there. My stories are all like long, windy stories that all connect into other stories, kind of like all the other things in my mind. So forgive me, it's just probably gonna be a snowball.
I like it.
The last 6 months have been really kind of difficult for me because I have experienced my first like physical loss, my first death since work. Thank you. Since working as a funeral director, I think one of the hardest parts of this job for me is that I have this really constant sense of my own mortality
Yep.
and all my loved ones' mortality in a way that I could never have even imagined before. So my father is from Israel, like all of my family on my father's side lives there.
Wow.
And my grandmother passed away over the summer. She was 93. And my grandmother was an incredible woman. And she did so many really like hard things in her life. And it was really tough for me not to be able to participate in her funeral because she was buried in Israel. And
Right.
well, the custom is to bury within like the day of burial if possible.
Right. Yep.
So they buried my grandmother within like 7 hours of her passing away. Yeah. And that's amazing, right? Like that, if I just stop the story here, like that's like incredible, right?
That's just an incredible feat that that can be orchestrated in that amount of time. That's amazing.
It is amazing. And I have such an appreciation for that time interval because it's what I do now for my living.
Right.
But so difficult for me not to be able to have that point of closure.
Yes.
And it was even more difficult for me because I then did funerals for all these people who like lost their grandmother. And I remember feeling like really sad, like, oh, I didn't
I didn't get that.
that moment for myself, you know? And I don't know, it's given me this appreciation for what I'm able to give someone every time I meet with a family, every time I make the perfect funeral happen, you know, that I'm able to give people hopefully this moment of where not closing the book, but closing out a chapter and having that moment of like pause. I don't know. It was so difficult for me to go through that and then keep working also.
Yeah.
I think that's another like thing maybe that I wish someone had kind of talked to me more about, which I mean, even if you're in mortuary college and even if you do this all day long, you don't always like think about this stuff maybe. But I wish I had asked, like, what is it like to be a funeral director and like suffer a loss while working? I don't know. It's kind of also given me this element of connecting with my work that I didn't have before. Because it's, even if you see grief all day, every day, and it's who you participate with every day, you kind of get like used to it. And then having to experience your own grief, it kind of reminds you like, oh, it is really hard to remember like a to-do list sometimes when you're, when you feel that.
Yeah.
It's like hard to really focus on certain things. You know, or just even like I said, you know, how I started the snowball of this whole story is like, you know, I just realized my mortality and like that the people I love one day will not be here. And I really appreciate every single day because I know that it could be our last.
Yeah.
I think that's my funeral director story to share, you know, that I don't know if other funeral directors feel that way, but, that's been one of my key funeral director takeaways. I've been doing this for 5 years this year and, you know, it has given me this really profound appreciation for my family and for their lives and their health. And you know, that we're all here. And that's really, I think, a super humbling part of this work. That's my favorite, one of my favorite parts of my job, even selfishly, maybe more than helping people. It's like having this very deep awareness that like my life and everyone else's life is like a fragile, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't know, experiencing a loss while doing funeral director stuff is not an experience I had ever really heard about before. My father-in-law is a funeral director and Whoa. My husband was a funeral director. He does not direct anymore.
Okay.
And my cousin is also a funeral director. So we have a lot of funeral directors in our family. And we're all very close and we all love each other very much, but we still haven't really ever like had conversations like, you know, about what it's like to do this for like 35 years and like to experience loss and keep pushing through, you know? I don't know. I feel like it's managing also like, you know, not getting burnt out over time.
It's very hard to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm happy that I have enough years under my belt even to like entertain these topics of conversation with another funeral director, because for, you know, a while I was just kind of like building towards this. And now that I've done for like years, it's like, you have to, if you want to be able to do anything well, long-term, like, I don't know if you're like an athlete or a musician, or maybe if you do something where you take a lot of pride in that and it's something you want to keep every day healthy and strong, right? You can't just go into it and not have like a plan. And funeral directing was something that I had a lot of really great mentors, but you know, I had to just kind of teach myself like everyone else, how am I going to do this and be a pro at this and keep playing every year. And, you know, if it's like I'm playing football, I want to make sure that like, you know, on our downtime, like I'm conditioning and I'm keeping myself like moving and strong and good. And, I don't know. I'm happy that I work with people who talk about this element of like taking care of yourself. I'm sure it's probably, I don't know what your day to day is like at your business workplace stuff. I don't know if you are able to like make the time to do things that you enjoy or like work out, but I don't know. I feel like that's been really something I've learned also in the last like 2 years, is just how to keep pushing through when it's tough.
Yeah. You have to make yourself a priority at sometimes. And that comes at no cost to anything else, because we can get really wrapped up in the day to day because it gets nuts and you have to say no. Like for me personally, like I need to exercise almost every day. I'll take one, maybe 2 days off every week.
Yep.
And it's not up for a debate. Like, I don't care how busy it is at work, whatever. That helps my mental focus a ton. And it helps me physically. And of course, I'm seeing death every day, so I want to have a good physical condition because I want to live a long time because I love living. Like, I love my life. Like, I'm very blessed. I'm very lucky. So why wouldn't I want to try to extend that? So I try to eat healthy, but I also at the same time, I'm a big believer in having fun and fully embracing your life too, because like you said, Mika, you don't know how short it's going to be. And that perspective that you have is not unique. I think the same exact thing. I'm nodding my head the whole time you're saying that because I could not agree more, because it gives you a whole different awareness that I might not be here forever. My family might not, my friends. So it gives you an appreciation for every day, an appreciation for the other people, an appreciation for literally every aspect of life. And it makes it gives you a different sense rather than some people. I mean, that's for us. I mean, we think that way. Some people, it gives them the opposite. It gives them a sense of like hatred, sourness, and negativity, which I've seen from other people. So it really depends on the person. But I think more often than not, you get that perspective of, hey, I'm here to enjoy this life and to help others, to be one with my family and friends and all that good stuff. But like you're saying, it's that's great that your funeral home, they are able to openly discuss. It's important to keep your mental health and your physical health a priority. So that's good that you're able to talk about that because that's not standard across the whole board. This past weekend, I was talking with some of my friends that we were out with, and we went out for some drinks for someone's birthday, and they were like, "Oh, like you know, I shouldn't be out doing this, like having fun, so to speak, with each other." And I said, "Well, what if you passed away tomorrow? Like you're gonna regret not having that experience. Like you way more than saying, oh, I'm so glad I didn't do that." And it doesn't have to be like that specifically. It could be like going on a trip or like taking a day to be with your significant other or your kid or your mom or your dad, whoever it is. Any of those like experiences in life, life is so short and it's so precious. And I know we're busy, but you make the just do yourself a favor for just make that time for whatever the thing is in your life that you love. And that's my spiel there.
Totally. We love it. We love a good spiel. I think kind of to build off of that, there's another element to this work that I love, which is that it's the great equalizer in a way, you know? I have worked for three different funeral homes now, so I've had a little bit of experiences in different parts of the state I live in, different socioeconomic backgrounds. And, you know, I've worked with really, really, really wealthy people and people who have nothing. And I feel like there's this very deep misconception in our society, maybe in the world at large, that, you know, if you have a lot of stuff, that your life is better than everyone else's. Or that if you don't have anything at all, that your life is like worse. And I don't know, it's really cool. And also I'm somebody who like everything is like a big philosophical something, whatever for me.
I like that.
But for me, when I work, you know, and I've worked with like pretty much all the people across the gamut at this point. I don't know, there's something again like that humbling feeling of like, you know, maybe from the outside you would see some of the folks I serve and be like, wow, I would never want to be them. They'd like, they don't have any money, they don't have any blah blah blah, but they're like the happiest, kindest, nicest people, and they love each other like so much. And guess what? When they come to make arrangements, they're not fighting. When we have funeral service,
Wouldn't you know it, huh?
yeah, they're not arguing. And it doesn't have to be like have or have not. It can be the same for people who have a lot. But I feel like most often people are like, wow, those people are like super duper wealthy. I bet they have the best life ever on earth. And you know, maybe you meet with them and they all don't like each other. They all don't talk to each other. They don't want to have services because you know, the family can't get along well enough to even like, pretend. Yeah, to like have visitation and like get along, you know? I'm grateful that I get to have like this very unique lens, or maybe not so unique, like you said, you know, that maybe all of us kind of, all of us who do this kind of have this,
Have an inkling of it, yeah.
we see, like, you know, everybody dies. Everybody dies. Everyone, the rich people, the middle people, poor people. I feel like for me, I have this really wonderful perspective of others, because to me, everybody is the same.
Yeah.
Whether you're like a doctor or a cashier, everyone has the same value to me, you know? I'm grateful for that part of my work as well, that I get to have that perspective. I don't know, maybe people who practice medicine feel that way too, because everybody gets sick and frail, you know?
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's the great equalizer. It is, because it doesn't matter who you are, it's gonna hit everyone.
Yep.
That's a really good way to put it. And that for me personally, that's why I love experiences. Like, I don't care as much. It's nice to have like nice things, this and that, you know,
sure.
I understand that. But for me, experiences are everything, because that's what's going to stick with you. And that's what you remember. You don't remember, you know, those little things that you buy, and maybe it feels good for a brief moment, but that's not going to last forever. I've heard it on different podcasts and things before about, you know, some of the happiest people are like in the little tribes in the Amazon rainforest, and they don't know anything besides the life that they live with each other, with their friends and family that they're with in their tribe. And they're some of the happiest people. So it's just like giving that perspective. It's, you have to open up your mind and say, hey, maybe I need to do things a little bit different. And it's good to have some self-awareness. And being a mortician, you definitely have a higher chance of having some self-awareness, because you don't know what's going to hit you every day.
It's a pretty good time. I feel really, really lucky. And I don't know, I'm really excited that I am going to watch us go through more changes. I definitely think more changes are on the horizon. I don't know if it's similar in Chicago. We are both Midwest like territories, so I wonder if we have similar vibes. Maybe not though. Chicago is like a much bigger city than Cincinnati. But Cincinnati is has a reputation of being behind, but I don't think that's always true, honestly. I've lived here like my whole life, pretty much. And I kind of see us at the forefront of certain trends and changes. Like here, I don't know. Do you guys have any like green burial stuff going on in Chicago?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's absolutely a thing. Yes.
Absolutely a thing. Do you guys have your own like fully green cemeteries yet, or not yet?
I feel like there must be like an outskirts. The city itself is built up everywhere.
Sure.
But on the outskirts, not that I have never done one. I have not. I haven't had a family ask. Mm-hmm. But I've had several people talk about them, and whether it's sections of cemeteries or their own personal ones, I would be relatively certain that that is a thing somewhere within the radius.
The area? Yeah. We're really lucky. We have a totally green green burial cemetery called Harris Acres. Got a plug for Bill. Yep. It's pretty awesome. Because
cool.
I don't know, I feel like it's really like the first of its kind, especially in our area. And it's been really highly requested, which I also think is interesting. I personally, and I don't want to out myself, but one of my least favorite parts about my job is selling a casket. Really hate selling caskets. For some people, and if this is your favorite part of your job, I'm like really sorry if I'm insulting you, but I really like don't like that part of my job.
I doubt it's anyone's favorite.
Yeah. That makes me feel better to hear you say that, Michael. Thank you. Yeah, I don't like doing that. Last week I made pre-arrangements with a family for a woman who is under hospice care. She was an artist. And like a very individual woman, and she's like over 90 years old. And yeah, I'm very lucky. I bury oftentimes people who are like over 90 regularly. I'm very blessed. Yes, it's very nice. So I'm eating with her family, and they're like so excited to look at these caskets with me. And I was like, wow, maybe
Do.
this is the problem. I'm like, maybe it's I'm selling the wrong kind of casket. I don't know. They were so like, I have never seen anyone this hype about a casket ever. The woman was like excited to like look inside of it. She's like on the ground, like opening it up with me. They're on the second pane of our showroom. They're like on the bottom or whatever. And she's like looking inside of it. And I'm telling her, like, yeah, I don't know if you guys sell anything from Passages, but I'm like, yeah, they're made in New Mexico and they're eco-friendly. And she was just like so happy. And we're planning her mom's funeral. So like 5 minutes before this, she was super not happy at all. And this
Oh.
casket, I don't know if it was like the casket itself or just like the idea that this was something that she could have made her so happy. And I've been able to meet with like a lot of families who are just stoked that like this is becoming an option. And it's, I don't know, I'm maybe from our conversation, I don't seem like it. But I'm a fairly traditional person. I feel like in some way, if you do this job, you have to have some appreciation for like
Yes.
tradition,
Definitely.
right? Even if you're a non-traditional person in the traditional
Sure.
sphere. So for me, like part of why I love and do my job is because I love and care about my religion very deeply, and it's a very big part of my life. And it's interesting to see this time, like where there's a shift in what people value and what they practice. And
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of weird to see that there's such a huge like cultural shift in how things change and end.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I think it's good to have that balance. You have to have a respect and understanding of tradition, and then also be on the forefront for people that want that. I too am like traditional, but I also appreciate and welcome anything that's going to be helping us move forward in the direction that we want to go. But Mika, this has been great stuff. The conversation really fun. A good perspective that you have, and a great energy for our lovely, lovely community. And we just want to say thank you for coming and keep up the great work what you're doing. It seems like you're helping a lot of families and doing a lot of good. And sorry for your grandma's loss too. So we're thinking about you there. And yeah, hopefully that'll with time get a little bit easier. As we know, it does take time, and we're really thinking about you in that respect for sure.
Yeah, honestly, like that's something I'm like also like, oh, like I don't know. I don't think it's been a while, honestly. I don't know if this is something like that is part of your life also. I don't know how old you are also, and you look very young, so I'm not even gonna like pretend to guess. But people my age lost people, you know? I'm like 32 and my grandma just died. Like that's nuts, right? But yeah, like I said,
Yeah.
it's nice to be able to like connect with my people on a deeper level. Michael, thank you so much for inviting me. I hope any of this was usable, and
Absolutely.
I'll hear from you in the future. Yeah?
Yes, thank you so much, Mika.